It's good to see you all this morning, and the Lord bless you. Before we get into the service, I would just like to mention to you one thing that our Egyptian brethren are celebrating the first year of the birth of their little one. And they have made arrangements for some refreshments, and they have invited us to stay with them and just enjoy some fellowship and some refreshments with them. So please give us a few minutes of your time and stay with us, and let's rejoice together. That's a miracle baby. A year ago there was... some danger and concern about the little one. And we want to say thank you to the Lord for the beautiful way that He has brought this family through and brought them to this particular place of being able to celebrate that year. So let's celebrate it with them. And at this time, I just believe that it is going to be the right thing to do to pray for the situation in the world as the situation is unfolding. The prophetic situation is unfolding before us. We need to ask the Lord to make us ready for whatever's going to happen. Just a little while ago, I said that ISIS, or whatever they call it, Boko Haram, they are not far away from us. They're right here. They're in our midst. That Westgate bombing in Kenya was planned in Mayfair, Johannesburg. It all was blueprinted. Everything was made ready in Mayfair, Johannesburg. These folk are not far from us, folk, and we need to pray to be ready to be able to attack any storm that comes across our way. Father, this morning, in that great and gracious, victorious name of Jesus Christ, I do not want to be a prophet of doom today, but we're looking realistically at the world situation in which we live. The world is in crisis, and we ask, Lord, that the power of God, the glory of God, would just begin to descend upon the churches. You would speak revival into the hearts of every single one of your people. And before the prophetic purposes of God unfold, the church will be in revival. The Christians will be witnessing and sharing, that many, many people will discover and experience Jesus. Now bless this word this morning. We ask it in the wonderful name of the Son of God. Amen. 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 Well, the Lord bless you. It's good to see you this morning. I just need to get this thing right. However it goes to get right. Excuse me stumbling a little bit. I got it right. So, we're all well. Are you happy this morning? If you remember when we were having tea and you see Glenn, just go and take his hand and say happy birthday for yesterday. And wish him the Lord's blessing on his life. Well, I was very surprised this morning as Conrad opened his scripture to read, because that's mine. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." This is the answer to the problems and the difficulties that we would face in our lives. Regardless of what it is, that life serves us, we can always recognize this, that the secret to the victory lies in us understanding that Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 is a major answer. It's a major solution to our being enriched in God and having our needs met. In beginning this sermon this morning, I would like to remind you of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 as Peter begins to close that letter that he's writing to the church. He says, casting all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. Now, how do we do that? We do that by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There is a tremendous secret to the victory of God for our needs in this particular section of the word. Now, some of us are going through difficulties. We're having some problems. Some challenges have come our way. And to some of us, it seems like the heavens may be brass and we can't pray through. But I want to say, be anxious for nothing. If we want to say it in whose language? Yvonne's. Muni panikni. Be anxious for nothing. Don't panic. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, there are scores of scripture that speak into our hearts to assure us, to encourage us, to affirm us about God's love for us as individuals. He cares for us. Cast all of your care on him because he cares for you. And he wants us to live in his peace through his grace and by the power of his presence. That might be a little bit of a mouthful, but he cares for us, wants us to live in peace by his grace and his presence. Now, let me just give you some of the scriptures which you know very well and which have been quoted so often to encourage us as we seek the face of God when the storms will come, when the battles rage, when pain seems to just rack the body, when unemployment, whole lot of problems are around us. Let me just share some of the scriptures that the Word of God gives here for us. Isaiah 41 verse 10 is an amazing verse of scripture. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's an amazing scripture. Praise God. And we need to worship the Lord and understand that. Let me read it again. Isaiah 41 verse 10. One of the many. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. You know that the Word of God tells us that the enemy, our formidable enemy, has sway over the whole earth. But God says to you, I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I believe that when the enemy comes and tries to get us down, to discourage us, to bring us into defeat, God is able, by his power and his presence, because he is with us, to bring us into victory. I love Psalm 50 verse 15. As David writes by the word of God, he says, quoting God, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you will glorify me. These are positive promises God has made to us. Psalm 91 verse 15, you shall call upon me and I will answer you and I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and I will honor you. He thinks of everything, even to the very point of honoring us. He's an amazing God. Yes. Jeremiah 29:11, we know, I know the plans that I have for you. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Philippians 4:6. We put all of these verses of Scripture together in this one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The secret that we need to know about the promises that God has made, the promises He made to us of being with us, of never leaving us or forsaking us, of being our God. And the one that I love from Isaiah 49 verse 16, where the word of God says, He has inscribed us on His hands. He hasn't inscribed our names. I have misquoted that scripture. I don't know how many times, forgive me. But He's inscribed us in the palm of His hand. Even if the enemy holds sway over the whole world, you are inscribed in the hand of God. We call it living in victory. We call it being satisfied with trying to understand what the will of God is for our lives, and we don't always do that. I mentioned when the ceilings or the heavens seem to be brass, we don't always understand why it is that God says yes to some prayers, and where others are not answered the way we think that He should answer them. But we need to understand that we are trying to understand the will of God for our lives. Now that includes life. It includes life. You know, Keith has got a saying, please don't pick it up. What is it, Keith? It is what it is. Don't pick it up. It's not a nice saying at all. But listen to me this morning. This promise of God, of His being with us, includes life. The good things in life and some not so good. He is with us. And we need to understand that He isn't going to forsake us or leave us alone. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Folk, if we learn anything today, let's learn this verse of Scripture. That by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, if we can do that, the Word of God tells us this. Psalm 91 verse 15, I will honor Him. Do you want to be honored? I want to be honored by the Lord with all of my heart. He says, I will honor you. We have got to trust God as the source and the Lord of our lives, regardless of what is happening. And there is some strange things happening in the world today among preachers. We had a lunch with Tommy Chaser on a Friday, and he was telling us about the amount of preachers that are sitting down to preach. Not because they want to, but because they have to. Something's gone wrong with their legs and they have to sit down. And we don't understand these things. But we need to know we can trust God. He is our source. He is our source. And He is our Lord. You know, last week I spoke about a woman who made room for the prophet of God in her home. And it's quite important, because I just need to tell you how this came about so that you and I can understand that by prayer and supplication, our needs can be met. We need to understand God. We need to understand that He is Almighty. We need to understand that He can do what He said that He can do. We need to understand that God's Word believed the way He has written it will achieve God's purposes in our lives. We need to do that. If we had to go to 2 Kings 8 verse 1 to 6 where we were last week, I want to read the scripture to you and then explain something to you. Then the king of Israel talked with Gehazi. Gehazi happened to be the servant of Elisha the prophet. He was the servant of the man of God, Elisha. The king said, "Tell me, please, of all of the great things Elisha has done." Now it happened that as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was a woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life." And the king appointed a certain officer, saying, "Restore all that was hers and the proceeds of the fields from the day she left the land until now. Make your needs known by prayer and supplication." Listen. Thanks, David. If I had to come and begin to speak about the great works that he had done, I wouldn't have told this story. I wouldn't have started there. You know, what is wrong with telling the story how that Elisha made an axe head float in the River Jordan? What's wrong with speaking about the fact that he swung the mantle of Elijah and the River Jordan divided and parted? That's a fantastic thing to speak about. What's wrong about the fact of speaking about the time when he was in the city of Dothan and all of the Syrian army surrounded that city to such an extent nobody could get in or get out? And his servant Gehazi said to him, "Alas, master, what are we going to do?" And Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And he saw in the hills around the city of Dothan were these chariots of God. I would have told that story. I would have told the story about the time when the Syrians had surrounded the city and were about to besiege that city. And God caused four lepers to march into the Syrian camp and scare the life out of them, and they ran for their lives. I think that was a good story. The story of the poisoned food, when people were getting sick from eating the stew, I would have told the story about how he spoke and that stew was non-poisonous. There's so many things to say, but he chose something that may not have been so very important. What had happened is this. Elisha stayed with this woman. She built him a room in her home. Then we find that the son that was born to that woman died. He died of sunstroke, possibly, and the woman took the child's body back to Elisha and laid him on Elisha's bed. And there, this child was brought back to life by the prophet Elisha. Now, what is important about it is this. The woman made room for the prophet. We need to make room for God. We need to make room for the promises of God, for the answers of God's prayers in our lives, for the working of God's Spirit in our existence. We need to do that. And that by prayer and supplication, we make our needs known, and God is still in the business of answering prayer. He's still meeting needs. And as Gehazi was telling the story about this woman and this lad that had died, suddenly he looked up and there was this woman in the king's midst petitioning for her land. She had to leave the land because of an enormous drought. So she lost everything. When she came back, there were squatters on her land, feeding off of a field. She had lost everything. And she came to the king and she petitioned that this land be restored to her. And as Elisha looks up, listen, isn't this an amazing coincidence? As Elisha looks up, he sees this woman. And he says, "Oh Lord, the king, this is the woman. And this is the son that I have been speaking about." The king then went into that case, immediately found out what it was all about. And he set a man in charge to restore all that was hers, everything. Even the prophet's room. Even the prophet's room. And the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until that particular moment. Listen, I want to tell you this. God is still on the throne. Amen. He still wants to work in our lives. He still wants to touch our lives. He still wants to use you. He still wants to use this church and this ministry in an amazing way. And I believe that as he met that woman's need, listen, not only did she get her land back, but she got her money back. It's amazing. Don't you think so? It's absolutely amazing what God can do. This is the woman who made room in her house for the man of God, and she was blessed in God's way. Through the unfortunate events of her life that took place through the drought, etc., she lost everything. But when she came back, she came to the right person. Listen, you might need to come back today. You might need to come back to God in a relationship, renewing your relationship today. You've come to the right place because the presence of the Spirit of God is here, and He is here to meet your need and to touch your life. So she came to the right place. Your problem and your condition is not the baseline of who you are. I want you to think of this. You're not defeated. You're not overtaken by the storm. You're not blown by the wind. You're not overcome by the waves.
It's not the baseline of who you are. God is the baseline. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Wow. That's an amazing scripture. And we can take it and we can take our needs, whatever they are, and we can say, God, I place this in your hand. And you know, the Bible says in Psalm 91, and he will honor you. And he will honor you. I believe that God wants to honor some of us here this morning. He wants to honor us with his presence, with his power, with his grace, with the gift of his healing. Whatever it is that our need is, God wants to honor us. And as we reach out to this wonderful Lord of us, of ours, Philippians 4 verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and your mind through Jesus Christ. Once we come by prayer and supplication and make our needs known to the Lord, the peace of God will guard us. Shall we stand together, please? As we're standing here this morning, I want to ask you, is the storm overwhelming you? Are the words of Peter striking your heart when he said, cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you? Can you bring yourself into that condition where you can, or position where you can say, I want the peace of God to rule and reign in my life? Today, by prayer and supplication, my need is going to be met. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, please. Is there anyone in this church who will say this morning, I want to meet God in a new way? I want a refreshing in my experience of life. I want God to be the God that you spoke about right now. Is there anyone in this church who would raise their hand? Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We bless God. We bless God. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you, Lord, for people who are honest enough to say, I want to touch the presence of God. I want a new touch. God's presence in my life. I want to be renewed by the power of God. I want to be excited again about the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you could restore everything that woman lost, you can restore my life. You can restore your glory in my life. You can touch me by your power and your glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? I'm just feeling in my spirit that the Lord is saying that there is someone in this gathering this morning who is going to meet somebody, and that somebody is going to become a very important part of your life. Bless God. I'd like you who raised your hands to just raise your hands again while I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these precious people who raised their hands. I pray for their need. I pray that in the name of Jesus, needs will be met and these lives will be enriched in God and in the power of God. I pray for them that you will touch them, bless them, and meet their needs right now. Lord, from the oldest to the youngest, will you touch these lives in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we pray. And we thank you for that. And then, Lord, this person that is going to meet somebody soon, I pray that will become a fulfillment. We will see it and rejoice in our God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I would like somebody just to take my chair down there, please. Is William nearby? Larry? William. Okay, bring him, please. Henry. And anybody... anybody who would like prayer, would you come? Thank you, sir.